Chapter 50. Were fished out of similar receptacles. Nothing to eat was touched with his hand. Every waitress had her own tables to attend to. As soon as she saw a new customer seat himself at one of her tables, she took from the counter all his dinner, his soup, potatoes, meat, and pudding, piled it up dexterously in her two hands, set it before him, and took his ticket. The serving of the whole dinner at once had been found greatly to simplify the business of attendance, and was also popular with the customers, who were thus enabled to vary the meal by varying the routine of dishes. Beginning with soup today, putting soup in the middle tomorrow, putting soup at the end the day after tomorrow, and ringing similar changes on meat and pudding. The rapidity with which every newcomer got served was remarkable, and the dexterity with which the waitresses, quite new to the yard a month before, discharged their duty was as agreeable to see as the neat smartness with which they wore their dress and addressed their hair. If I seldom saw better waiting, so I certainly never ate better meat, potatoes, or pudding. And the soup was an honest and stout soup, with rice and barley in it, and little matters for the teeth to touch, apostrophe as had been observed to me by my friend below stairs already quoted. The dinner service, too, was neither conspicuously hideous for high art nor for low art, but was of a pleasant and pure appearance. Concerning the viands and their cookery, one last remark. I dined at my club in Pall Mall aforesaid, a few days afterwards, for exactly 12 times the money, and not half as well. The company thickened after 1 o'clock struck, and changed pretty quickly. Although experience of the place had been so recently attainable, and although there was still considerable curiosity out in the street and about the entrance, the general tone was as good as could be, and the customers fell easily into the ways of the place. It was clear to me, however, that they were there to have what they paid for, and to be on an independent footing. To the best of my judgment, they might be patronized out of the building in a month. With judicious visiting, and by dint of being questioned, read to, and talked at, they might even be got rid of for the next quarter of a century in half the time. This disinterested and wise movement is fraught with so many wholesome changes in the lives of the working people, and with so much good in the way of overcoming that suspicion which our own unconscious impertinence has engendered, that it is scarcely gracious to criticize details as yet, the rather because it is indisputable that the managers of the Whitechapel establishment most thoroughly feel that they are upon their honor with the customers as to the minutest points of administration. But, although the American stoves cannot roast, they can surely boil one kind of meat as well as another, and need not always circumscribe their boiling talents within the limits of ham and beef. The most enthusiastic admirer of those substantials would probably not object to occasional inconstancy in respect of pork and mutton, or, especially in cold weather, to a little innocent trifling with Irish stews, meat pies, and toads in holes. Another drawback on the Whitechapel establishment is the absence of beer. Regarded merely as a question of policy, it is very impolitic, as having a tendency to send the working men to the public house, where gin is reported to be sold. But there is a much higher ground on which this absence of beer is objectionable. It expresses distrust of the working man. It is a fragment of that old mantle of patronage in which so many estimable thugs, so darkly wandering up and down the moral world, are sworn to muffle him. Good beer is a good thing for him, he says, and he likes it. The depot could give it him good, and he now gets it bad. Why does the depot not give it him good? Because he would get drunk. Why does the depot not let him have a pint with his dinner, which would not make him drunk? Because he might have had another pint, or another 2 pints, before he came. Now, this distrust as an affront is exceedingly inconsistent with the confidence the managers express in their handbills, and is a timid stopping short upon the straight highway. It is unjust and unreasonable, also. It is unjust, because it punishes the sober man for the vice of the drunken man. It is unreasonable, because anyone at all experienced in such things knows that the drunken workman does not get drunk where he goes to eat and drink, but where he goes to drink expressly to drink. To suppose that the working man cannot state this question to himself quite as plainly as I state it here, is to suppose that he is a baby, and is again to tell him in the old wearisome, condescending, patronizing way that he must be goody-poody, and do as he is toldy-poldy, and not be a manny-panny or a voter-poter, but fold his handy-pandies, and be a childy-pildy. I found from the accounts of the Whitechapel self-supporting cooking depot that every article sold in it, even at the prices I have quoted, yields a certain small profit. Individual speculators are of course already in the field, and are of course already appropriating the name. The classes for whose benefit the real depots are designed will distinguish between the two kinds of enterprise. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.